Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
We are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote.
We'll do it
lots of stuff happening. My goodness, what a day. Obviously, the World Series is in full effect, and we led off with it yesterday. Clayton Kershaw, he had to deliver, and he did, so we'll get into that. Ryan Fitzmagic running his mouth, we'll get into that. Plenty to get into, of course, and even a little basketball, even Kawhi Leonard's names being bandied about. So we'll talk about all of that and more for the next 3 hours. Keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM channel 83. Let me welcome in my partner, Mr. Rob Parker. How are you, brother?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I am great, man. I am great. Excellent game last night. Excellent game. And I'm excited. Maybe the Dodgers, I think this is it, right? And I know it's one game, but obviously I picked them, though. But I think it looked good. It looked good right now. That's all I'm going to say.
No, I mean, they for game one.
You can't ask for much more, right?
It's the way you want it to start. You just don't want it to think that the series is over, obviously. And there's one stat out there, and I'm going to tell you. First of all, Snell, their ace, is pitching tonight for right. Tampa Bay, and the Dodgers are going with a bullpen, Chris, which isn't always the best thing. And here's the other thing. Tampa Bay was 21-8 against teams over 500, and the Dodgers were something like 9-7 all year. So They've played good teams, and they've beaten good teams. So we'll see what happens, but I don't think it's all, the series is over.
Oh, yeah.
By any stretch.
No, not at all. All right, let's introduce the Odd Couple crew and then get rolling. We got DJ Alex Tyshirt, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan, on this Worship Wednesday. He told me he is going to rock the ones and the twos, Holy Ghost style. All right, we waiting.
Blurs.
And then we got super producer.
What? What is that? Who is that?
That's his mockery.
That sounds like my minister at Morningstar Missionary Baptist Church on Merrick Boulevard. Right, on Merrick Boulevard near where you got married.
Yes, yes.
My church is only a block or two over, Chris, right on Merrick.
I've seen that church.
You know where that is. You were married on Linden and Merrick.
Yep.
And my church is on Merrick, one block from Linden.
Yep. Yeah. So Alec, DJ Tyshirt getting in the Worship Wednesday mood. Super producer Rob G in full effect. And on the updates, it is our man, David Gascon, the Gas Man. All right, Rob, let's get right into this. This is your sport, baseball. And Clayton Kershaw, fantastic. Fantastic last night. Look, it wasn't an all-time great performance, but it was a very good performance. It was just what the doctor ordered. He goes
he
six
had eight
innings.
Strikeouts. Yeah, yep. He did fine.
Six full innings, one earned run, two hits, eight Ks, all of them swinging, and just one walk. They took him out. He was looking good through six. They got him out of there. Obviously had the big lead. What were they up, 8-1?
Right. At that point, yep,
what would
that's
you,
the right
what,
move.
What? I hear you. I certainly can't
It's just
argue
the right move.
It.
He pitched great. You don't want him to have a sloppy inning or, you know what I mean, leave out not feeling good about himself. The game is in hand. And, Chris, if your bullpen can't hold that, you're not winning the World Series anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I hear you. I hear you. And so the thing is this. Now, and we know all about his postseason struggles, now a lot of people are saying that, stop it. We don't want to hear anymore about Clayton Kershaw can't get it done.
No, I don't know about
postseason.
Really? Already?
Yeah. Hey, that's what they're saying. What was the somebody, who was it, Rob G, that said, I don't want to hear anything about Kershaw can't pitch in October now? There was some quote to that effect. So, yeah, people are saying it's over. The postseason, you know, demons are gone. We, you know, that's behind him. He's erased all that. He's redeemed himself. Your thoughts?
I'm not buying that. It's not like he hasn't pitched any good games in the postseason in his career. He's pitched well in some games, Chris.
Yep.
But he's also had stinkers. In 2017, this is the one that hurts. And this is the one I was most critical about Clayton Kershaw. He pitched great in game one. The series in 2017 against the Astros, Chris, the series was tied 2-2. Game five was in Houston. The Dodgers gave him a 3-0 lead, and he gave it up. The next inning, the Dodgers gave him another 3 or 4 runs, Chris, and he gave it up. You're supposed to win a game five with your ace on the mound, spotted 3 runs, and they did it twice, and he gave them up. And that was the game. That was the reason why the Dodgers lost, because after that, Chris, with your ace on the mound, 3-run lead, if they win that, they're up 3-2, come right back to L.A., and the last two games are at Dodger Stadium, you win a World Series. That's the game your ace is supposed to win.
Nah, you're right on the money. And as you know, I mean, we're pulling for Clayton. Well, you know, we'd love to see him erase these demons as much as anybody. He's obviously an all-time great pitcher in the regular season. But I got to add on to what you said, Rob. Before you go ahead and become a prisoner of the moment, people were saying the same thing after his first 4 starts in 2017 in the playoffs. 2017, here's his first 4 starts in 2017 and 2020. 2017, 3-0 through 4 starts. 2020, 3-1. ERA in 2017, 2.96 first 4 starts. 2020, 2.88. Strikeouts in 2017 to walks, 27 Ks, 5 walks. This year, 31 Ks, 3 walks. Opponents' batting average in 2017 through his first 4 postseason starts, 174. This year, 200. And obviously, like you said, he fell apart. And so I'm not predicting he's going to collapse again, but slow down. And,
right.
And here's the thing, Rob, this is not enough. As good as he was last night, you got to do more. You mentioned it. You mentioned a few of the gaffes. This is not enough to completely erase it. And I'll say it like this. Let's say the Dodgers sweep the Rays in 4. I don't think that'll happen, but let's say they sweep them in 4 and we never see Kershaw on the mound again. Yes, we're going to say he pitched a really great game in game one, but that's not going to become his postseason reputation. It helps, but you're still going to have those other issues. He needs another good game and maybe another one. You know, he's got to be great very good throughout this entire series, and they got to win to fully erase those demons.
No doubt about it. It's just too quick to say it's a done deal. Okay, he's good to go.
Right.
I think if it was like he pitches game 5 and the Dodgers are up 3-1, Chris, and he's on the mound and he pitches a gem and they clinch it and win the World Series and he had 2 great starts against the Rays, then people will say he did it.
Absolutely.
He finally produced in the big moments. And people wouldn't look at him, you know what I mean, could change the way that they look at him. But to prematurely think it's a done deal and he's good to go It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's way, way premature.
No, no, totally. And he was great, though. You know, he had all of his pitches working for him. And he gave Dave Roberts just what he asked for. Remember Roberts said, we need him to go deep. I mean, nowadays, six full innings is deep. And he did that. Roberts wanted to save the bullpen, get them kind of back on a normal schedule. They had obviously been stretched in that seven-game series in the championship round. But so he did it. But like you said, he's got to deliver more. There's just no way one – I mean, it's like LeBron, you know, we talk about whether it was the Dallas series or just some of his finals losses. Having one great game in the finals, I know it's different for a pitcher who doesn't, you don't see him every game, but even for LeBron, like playing great in the finals, like say, and we've seen it. I mean, he's been great in every finals other than Dallas, but even though he was great in some of these finals, if they lost, it didn't remove the sting. You know what I mean?
No,
of some of the previous losses. And he's got to win. And it's for Kershaw. He's got to pitch well. I would say, look, they certainly need to win for him to fully be exonerated. But I would even argue, let's say he pitches terrifically in three outings. Say, I don't think this would happen. If he goes three games, he's going to end up pitching in game seven. But let's say somehow he pitched great in, you know, two games. Let's say his next game, game five, he even throws a one-hitter, a no-no, or shut out through seven or whatever. And they lost the series? It wouldn't, even though he was great, it would help him, but it wouldn't fully exonerate him.
Not at all. Because it's still, the bottom line is still about the Dodgers having to win and him having something to do with it. That's right. Really what it's about. And that's what he needs in order to shake the stink, Chris, because pitching well and them not winning is not going to shake that. You have a pitcher of our generation, a guy who's been unbelievable, has the best ERA and whip of any pitcher in the live ball era who's pitched more than 1,000 innings as a starter. So that he has all that. He needs to win a World Series.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. All right, did last night's performance change the postseason narrative surrounding Clayton Kershaw? Your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We will continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let it marinate. Don't fight the feeling. All right, you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Get a quote at Geico.com now. All right, 877-99 on Fox. Did Clayton Kershaw's strong game one performance last night erase all the demons of postseason past? Is his slate clear now? And it's all positive from here on out. Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob. Let's do it.
All right, Colton in New Mexico, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
How you gentlemen doing this evening?
Doing good.
Great, man.
That's good to hear. So I believe it erased a majority of the postseason woes, because I believe it was Doug Gottlieb that gave some information earlier today that really helped change my mind, is the fact that in the first few innings, he didn't give – in his postseason career, he hasn't given up more than two runs in a majority of his postseason career. It's in the later innings where he gets overworked. And I think last night proved that.
In his first two innings?
No. In the first, you know, three, four innings, he doesn't give up more than two runs a majority of the time.
Okay.
In the later innings, like the fifth, sixth, seventh inning, that's whenever he starts getting exhausted. It's not really postseason nervousness. It's exhaustion more than anything. But
Wait a minute.
It is, first of all, two runs in four innings isn't a great ERA.
No, it's not.
Right. So that's number one. Number two, whether it's nerves, exhaustion, not good enough, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. If you can't perform at the highest level, then there's an issue. It can be exhaustion, but that's not good either, right?
And
if it's
Chris,
exhaustion.
You just said it. Two runs, remember, it's per nine innings.
Right.
So two runs after four innings is five runs a game.
Right.
That ain't that good. He has a 2.44 lifetime ERA. So a five ERA, two runs in four innings is not great. Don't let anybody tell you that that's good.
Right.
It's not.
Right. I'm going to say that, look, I did a little research yesterday on Kershaw. He has had, this is before yesterday, he's had 10 playoff games, and his record's 11-12 in the playoffs. Or now it's 12-12. But he's had 10 playoff games where he went at least six innings, and he gave up only one or zero earned runs. So we're nobody saying he hasn't had good playoff games before, even very good ones.
We just
but
talked
he's
about
better than that, right? In the regular season, he's freaking maybe the best pitcher in the last 50, 60 years.
He is the best pitcher of our generation. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it when you talk about Chris the regular season. How about Tony in D.C.? You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What you got, Tony?
Fellas, what's good? Parker's platoon in the house.
Man, I wanna start didn't I tell you to kill that noise?
I want to start off by thanking you guys for the most comfortable pair of slides on planet Earth.
Yes.
I have never walked on clouds before, but this must be what walking on clouds feels like.
And you know what,
they
Tony? Everybody can't win a pair, but they could go on GetRobbed.com and order a pair. How's that?
And get robbed.
Dope. That's all I got to say. But to Kershaw, I agree with you guys. I not only think the Dodgers have to win the series, but Kershaw has to be the MVP of the series. He has to go 2-0 or 3-0, and he has to have a situational relief appearance where he gets a crucial out to kill a Rays rally.
Wow, that's right. A lot, Tony. Man, you want him to do a lot. If he pitches well in his two starts hit around like a rag doll,
right,
and they win the World Series, that's a step in the right direction.
Right.
It's the second start, Chris, because we've seen good first starts, right?
Yep.
We've seen this before. We saw this in 2017 against the Astros. It was Game 5 that doomed the Dodgers. Marty in Kentucky, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
What's up, fellas? How you doing? This
morning? What's up, brother? How
We're
are you?
Good.
I'm good. River liked the intro music to this section.
River, nice. My man River. River's my man. Praise the Lord, River.
I told him, I said, Chris don't like that. on Kershaw, I'll tell you, that one game's not changing a narrative to me, but I'll be honest with you, the narrative was changed for me on World Series play when I found out the Astros and the Red Sox knew what he was pitching. Now, when it comes to pitching, you look at where he falls off. His second start and later in the inning. Well, what happens when you start to tire down? You're less dependent on the stuff you got. You're more dependent on keeping batters guessing. You know, you start losing a little juice,
right.
You got to keep them guessing and use your experience. And when they know what you're pitching, you don't have that. So he had a clean slate coming in, and I'm judging him World Series-wise on how he does here. Because as far as Boston goes and the Astros goes, I'm not holding that against him anymore.
I think you're being a little too lenient on him. You might be able to talk about it, but this whole notion that the second time around, there have been great pitchers, Chris, you notice, who have pitched in the World Series, who pitch complete games, who pitch deep into the game, you know. So this whole notion that he can't do it, and that's the reason why he's getting hit around. It's hard for me to believe that.
Yeah,
and you know what? Can I go to Bob Gibson? He had complete game victories in 1967 World Series, Chris. And I know it's a different era. Complete
games,
game one, Game 4 and Game 7. How's that? Complete games. Look, I'm just saying. Don't act like it's never been done.
Well, and I think Marty's point, which I think is a legitimate point and deserves to be a part of the discussion. He was saying, look, the Astros and Red Sox cheated. They knew what Kershaw was throwing, and that erased the whole negative postseason narrative for him. I think that's a part of the discussion. I don't think it erases everything because we just don't know, right? We just don't know exactly what happened. We know they were cheating, but I don't think we know enough, Rob, to just totally exonerate Kershaw.
No, but he was hit around by other teams. Can we sneak Andre in Massachusetts?
Quickly, yep.
You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Andre?
Yeah, not too much. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, when you
been a while, brother.
Yeah, I'm trying to get in a busy show. You know, you got a lot going on. You got over 1 million people tuning in. It's tough to get on. You know, you guys are doing what you're doing. So
thank you, buddy.
Good. Yeah, but again, with Clayton Kershaw, I think this is a team that's built to win a championship and championships. And when you step into that that circle, you know, I think that's going to change the narrative surrounding him. And again, what other people have said, you know, the issue surrounding why he struggled. So for me, I think the narrative is going to change. It's not going to erase everything. But once he becomes a champion and had the Dodgers winning, I think people are going to look more favorably on him.
I think you're right.
Agreed.
Andre,
agreed.
I think you're spot on there. I think that's what it'll take for them to finally win a World Series and for people to feel good about Clayton Kershaw.
All right. The Clippers, that's right, the NBA Clippers, wouldn't really try to trade Kawhi, would they? We'll get into that next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Rob, this made me chuckle. I don't claim to have any inside information on this. I haven't talked to anybody about it, but I just find it laughable. All right, The Athletic did a nice piece where they talked to agents, anonymously, of course, and had them address various topics. And at one portion of the story, they asked the agents to identify the highest profile player that they expect to change teams. One agent, Rob, said Kawhi Leonard, and he added this quote, "I heard the Clippers are going to break that roster up." Rob, they may indeed make some moves, but I would be gobsmacked if they moved Kawhi Leonard. Now, and I get it. Look, there were issues. He lived in San Diego, took the helicopter to games and practices, was late for some flights. Obviously, there's the low management. But unless he is just really causing major problems, there is no way they are trading Kawhi Leonard. Absolutely no way.
I think that is thrown out there. He's a big name. That's going to get some people interested. I'm not saying that the Athletic made it up.
No, some agent said it.
For an agent,
so
I'm just saying. No,
Athletic,
no, no. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. An agent throwing it out there. But I'm with you. I don't believe that's the route you take. Let's not say, Chris, they were supposed to go to the NBA Finals and they were the A seed instead of the 2 seed. They were supposed to win and they got knocked out in the first round, or they got swept by the Denver Nuggets. No, they were up 3-1. They were where they were supposed to be. Let's just be honest. Am I right, Chris? Were they not where they were supposed to be? They didn't close the deal, but that doesn't mean you're going to get rid of. People have come back from bad situations and won again. We've talked about it. You've talked about it. You brought it up about LeBron the first year in Miami. They lose to a bad Dallas Mavericks team compared to where they were. Did they go in and say, oh, my God, let's get rid of Chris Bosh. Let's get rid of Dwayne Wade. This isn't going to work. No.
That
doesn't even make any sense. That story makes no sense.
And here's the deal too, Rob. First of all, who's better than Kawhi, or arguably, because you can argue he's better than just about anybody. I think LeBron's still the best player in the world, but LeBron's older, so let's take him off the table. Who's better that you would trade him for? Anthony Davis. Would the Lakers do that? No.
No. Kevin Durant. That ain't happening.
Right. Brooklyn wouldn't do that. Giannis.
That ain't happening.
No. And here's the deal, too. Kawhi's only got 1 year left on his deal. If he was traded to a place he didn't want to go, first of all, he can leave there after a year. And secondly, that team would not give up anything of value for him because they'd be like, well, he might leave after a year. And here's the other thing. Look, he's 29 years old and he's from L.A. He wanted to be in L.A. I don't think he's going anywhere, Rob, after this year. I mean, barring some, and I'm not even talking about losing in the playoffs. I'm saying barring some major, unforeseen disaster, he wanted to be in L.A. Why would he leave? He's already been on three teams. Three teams is enough for a star, right? A superstar. You don't need to go to more than that.
And think about this. This is the other part, too. You gotta be honest with this. He had two options, Chris. He had Easy Street with the Lakers, right? Anthony Davis and LeBron. He had Easy Street offered to him. They had the money. It was on the table, right? And he decided to go with a team that's never won anything and is second fiddle in L.A. and all the other stuff. So that doesn't make any sense that he would be ready to just go like, okay, well, it didn't work the first year. I'm out of here. Or get me out of here. None of that makes any sense to me.
Not at all.
He chose to come to the Clippers, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he play well at the end? No, he didn't play well at the end.
Well, he was great throughout the whole season. Right. Yeah, he didn't deliver in the end, no question.
He didn't finish the job, that's all.
And this just doesn't make any sense at all. And look, I'm sure they're trying to talk to him about the load management. If he is just adamant, I can't play more than 60 games in a year, whatever. And here's the thing, though. He can. Because, Rob, we saw him in the bubble. You're playing every other day. And he was great. And the reason he fell apart, now, he did look tired at times. So he just got to get in better shape. But he didn't look like he had any knee problems. You know what I mean? Like he was limping or.
You remember we were talking about his.
And I hope he's not raising Cain about, I can't. I got to load manage. That would upset me if I'm the Clippers. But still, I would still go another year with him and try it out.
And you remember how he started off the first nine games. They were equal to Michael Jordan. He had played so well. You're talking about it, playing every other day, right? And he had put up numbers big time.
Right.
So he was playing well.
Look, the changes I expect them to make, maybe to some of the role players, I don't think they're like, we got to get rid of Paul George. But yeah, if they could get a better player for him, would they do it? If they could get a Bradley Beal, which they can't, for him, it'd have to be some type of maybe three-team deal or something else thrown in there. But other than a better player for Paul George that they can get, I see them having Kawhi and PG for next season. And then maybe retooling a few of the role players. But look, you got a new coach in there, Ty Lue. He knows what the problems were. Yeah, I think all this talk about destroying the team is just off.
And Chris, he wouldn't be coach if Kawhi and those guys had an issue with them. They asked him where they were with Ty Lue.
All right. We'll get ready for game two of the World Series with our man John Morosi next. It's The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple. Chris and Rob, we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Nobody to have on who's better than our next guest. With the World Series being in full effect, he's a Fox Sports and MLB Network insider, John Morosi. John, how are you?
What's up? Chris and Rob, it is always a pleasure to speak with both of you. And I can say this with great pride and gratitude. Here I am at the World Series this year in 2020. It's amazing to be here. A lot of our conversations back in the spring we weren't sure if this day was going to be here, but here we are for game two, and I'm ecstatic to be here.
I'll be there, John, on Friday for games 3, 4, and 5. So I'm excited.
Nice.
And the stadium, I hear from my guy Dave Pingelor, who works for Channel 5 here in L.A., he says it is a showplace. It's beautiful.
It really is. Gorgeous ballpark. Certainly plays big, which the pitchers love. The turf is unique, but it plays fair, I think. And really, it has all the accoutrements that you'd want to see in a brand-new place. Certainly, hey, they've got to keep up with their neighbors. You got AT&T Stadium across the parking lot, and we know that place is a palace for sports as well. So they had to make sure to build something that was the equal in the baseball sense of that.
All right, John, a lot of talk. Obviously, Kershaw was strong last night. Great performance by him. Some talk by people saying, look, this is it. We don't want to hear any more about his postseason failures. This erases that narrative. Last night did it. Rob and I don't buy that. Look, he was good, and we give him credit, but we think there's more he has to do. Where are you at on this?
Well, ultimately, he will be judged on if he leads this franchise to a championship. I don't think he has to come back and pitch game 5 and then game 7 on short rest for that to be the case. If they win it, even if they win it without him winning another game, I think that he has done what he was asked to do for the franchise. That to me was a strong start. And by the way, he's had other very strong starts for this team.
Right.
He's won 12 postseason games, and that's actually third most in baseball since the wild card era began, after only Andy Pettitte and Justin Verlander. So he's won a lot of huge games. But like Verlander, and Rob and I were watching a lot of those games together in Detroit,
yes,
you know, Verlander had some clunkers too. And so when you're that great, when the franchise looks to you, sometimes you aren't quite equal statistically to the moment. And sometimes you do try too hard, like I know Justin did, and I know Clayton has done probably in the past as well. So it's a matter of looking at their overall career body of work in some context, and there were times when the Dodgers really rode him a lot because they didn't have the same depth of pitching. Right now they've got Walker Buehler to go with them, certainly along with them a lot. And I think overall this is probably the best and deepest Dodger team I have seen during this era.
Speaking of their opponent, I know a lot of people think, okay, they don't really know Tampa Bay, but they're a really good team. They had the best record in the American League. Blake Snell, their ace, is on the mound tonight. The Dodgers are going with the bullpen. If I was a betting man, I would call up my friend Bernie Fratto in Las Vegas and bet $100 on Tampa Bay. What do you think about Tampa Bay tonight and their chances of tying up the series? Did I give that away or not?
I'm in no position to offer advice of that kind. I would say that first and foremost. But I would say this. Blake Snell has been a Cy Young winner before. He's going to have to get his strikes, quality strikes, in the zone, though. This is not a team that chases. Almost every other team, if you're a pitcher, you can almost bank on the anxiety of the moment or the emotion of the moment overriding a team's usual plate discipline. The Dodgers are not like that. You have to throw quality strikes in the zone. Glasnow couldn't do that enough last night. Yeah, he struck out 8 batters, but he also walked 6, and that's why he lost. You cannot afford to walk the Dodgers because eventually someone's going to hurt you with an extra base hit. They're just too good.
Let me, Chris, just follow up on this. I think the record and the number, I talked to Chris earlier in the show, that Tampa Bay was 21-8 against teams over 500. They played really well against good teams. The Dodgers didn't face nearly as many. I think their record was something like 9-7. But anyway, it tells you about Tampa Bay, too, and about facing good competition.
Oh, Tampa is an outstanding team. There's no question about that. It's just the Dodger lineup is, I think, the best lineup that Tampa has had to deal with. And conversely, I believe that just look at the numbers. I think the lineup the Dodgers are facing right now with Tampa is not as good as the Atlanta lineup or the lineup they faced with San Diego earlier than that. So the Dodgers have already faced now two very good lineups. That just to get to this point, and I think that their pitchers right now, they are dialed in. And I also think, guys, to a larger extent, they had to win 3 elimination games just to get here. And I think that in some way, if this makes any sense at all, Game 1 of the World Series was a more mellow game than Game 7 of the LCS. I think that really emotional win, they're able to relax, they're settled in now, and I just being around them during batting practice today, guys, That is a loose team. They are having a good time here at the World Series.
John Morosi, Fox Sports, MLB insider, joining the iCouple. John, in 2018, we saw the Dodgers really using the analytics. I mean, they benched their lefty hitters against left-handed pitchers. And this year, they're just alternating the lineup. They're not benching guys. Obviously, last night you saw the stolen bases by Mookie Betts and others. What have they learned or changed in their approach with analytics that at least to this point is helping them?
Well, it's a great question, Chris. A couple things. I think that having Mookie Betts here has changed this team immeasurably because he makes the subtle plays that win you games. And I think that the excitement that he offers on defense, on base running, offense, everything, I think they look to him and his leadership, and it's allowed the rest of the group to settle in to the point that, as you say, Chris, you don't have to change the lineup out wholesale because you've got Mookie playing like an MVP. And remember, notably, Corey Seager playing like an MVP. Right. And, of course, he was injured one of the two times before the Dodgers made it to the World Series in 2018. That was the year that Machado was playing shortstop. So I think you're basically now, think about that, to the team that was in the World Series in 18, you have added someone who's playing like an MVP now in Seager, and you've acquired an MVP in Mookie Betts. And that's why it's made the rest of the group better. This is the best team in the game, and they should win the World Series.
John, great stuff, man. We appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Enjoy the time down there.
I'll see you down in Arlington. Yeah.
Show
Sounds
Rob
great,
a
guys.
Good time.
Always love talking with you both. Look forward to catching up again anytime, my friends. Call me anytime.
All right, brother. All right. We got 2 hours left of the Odd Couple. It's Chris and Rob. You know what to do. I mean, we got football. Ryan Fitzmagic running off at the mouth. We're going to give you a piece of our mind. Keep it locked right here, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app, Sirius XM 83.